Romans chapter 8. Now, I have preached in Romans chapter 8 in all kinds of ways. I've been baiting, you know, when I minister in just little areas of Romans chapter 8 from the very first verse all the way to the very last verse. But I want to dig into it because if we titled this message, it would be, "What's Your Motivation?" Let me say that again. What is your motivation? In other words, any rodeo cowboy will and cowgirl, a lot of times to make the national finals, their motivation is their event. They live it. They breathe it. It's all in their mind. They do it constantly. They think about it over and over and over. They make good runs in their minds. And I mean, that just becomes who they are to make the national finals. But obviously, we need to get motivated in the only hope that we have as believers in Jesus Christ. We need to get motivated into not giving up, to be fully persuaded, praise God. Because there's the other motivation that we lose. And we just get burnt out and tired. I'm so thankful for this church because they fill in the gaps for me and my wife when we are so busy and you know, just need a little rest. Because most of you know, my calendar is still booked a lot, and we're very busy. The Lord has never said, stop traveling and just stay here and pastor this church without ever leaving. And I believe the reason that He continues to tell me to go outside the walls of this church and continue to minister at Casper, Wyoming at the College National Finals or where we just got back from it, Las Vegas, that I've been ministering at for over 20 years, is because no one else is willing to do it. It's very expensive. So they look at those kind of things and they just can't. A lot of ministers say, well, it's, man, I'd rather pastor a church because there's freedom right there. I mean, it doesn't cost very much, and maybe the church will support that part of the ministry if you're just here. But I've learned a long time ago that I'd rather be a God pleaser than a man pleaser. And that's the way we all need to be. Because as busy as we are, I needed those ladies and Howdy driving a truck last night at the Christmas parade. And I would love to be a part of everything, but I understand my call. I understand that it takes a whole church, all of us, to serve and continue in the kingdom of God. There's a motivation, though, that a lot of us have in ministry to give up. Matter of fact, during COVID, you probably saw or heard, you know, on the news, there were thousands of churches that folded up during COVID. Very sad. I mean, what do you say when people are wondering why churches are no longer? Well, of course, personally, you know, what God starts, no man can stop. Unless someone isn't motivated to continue on. All of the book of Romans, at least chapter 8, in my opinion, helps us stay motivated to continue to serve God like you did when you first gave your heart to Jesus. I'll never forget it in my life. May the 10th, 1979. I was 10 years old. I walked down the aisle of Vacation Bible School that my uncle was the pastor of, Otis Baptist Church. right outside of Carlsbad, New Mexico. And I was excited that I gave my heart to Jesus. At 13, I went to a Bible camp, and I mean, I got more fired up. As a little old Baptist kid, got filled with the Holy Ghost and didn't know what that was. But right then, man, I had a heart for God. I mean, I just wanted to tell people about Jesus. And that's where my heart was. When I got into college, Bible study was in my dorm room. I just had a heart to tell people about Jesus. But about a year into college, most of you know, a little heartbreak in my life, I had a decision to either stay motivated on mom and dad training me up in the ways of the Lord so that when I got old, I wouldn't depart from it. I'd just stay hooked. Or I could have gone the opposite direction and you know, did things like the world. And most of you know, for 2 years, I walked away from the Lord. Musical family in the ministry, 1984, you know, and then got ordained in 96. But during that time, before I was ordained in 96, I walked away from the Lord. 2 solid years in college. The party was at my house, 605 Runnels, Big Spring, Texas. Howard College, I was a Hawk, Howard Hawks. Hallelujah. I was president of student body, college. But man, the party again was where I was. And I had walked away from God. You see, I lost my motivation. Well, I started reading after 2 years of walking away from the Lord. I started getting into the Word of God. And I'll never forget in my dorm room saying, God, forgive me. I know better. I know better, sir. And I mean, the weight was lifted off of me right then. And I went to scriptures like verse 1 that we're going to go through the whole chapter, not today, but most of it, some of it today, and then we'll finish it maybe tomorrow, and if we don't, or next Sunday. And if we don't finish it next Sunday, well, then we'll finish it the next Sunday. And if we don't finish it then, we'll finish it in heaven. I'm not saying I'm going to die soon, but I'm just saying the point is we're just going to continue to minister. But here's what kept my motivation, even in the midst of a trial and tribulation in my life, to continue in my Christ Jesus. I mean, I was already born again. I already understood the joy that I had when I was translated from the kingdom of darkness to the kingdom of light through Jesus Christ. I understood the joy of the Lord that produces strength in my life. I understood my calling, praise God. I fought it till about 24. But I understood all of that, and I mean, I was excited in those early years when I gave my heart to the Lord. I mean, I went back to mom and dad, and I'll never forget going to them and saying, I gave my heart to Jesus. And they were already, my dad was already a pastor. They were already ministering and leading music at different churches and pastoring churches, etc. But I went to them, and it didn't matter where I got saved, if it was by them or, you know, my uncle. They were so excited, but I had this fire, man. And I was motivated. I was motivated to tell people about my Savior. Might not have known a lot of scriptures, but I was excited that Jesus, that gave His life for me, saved me. Corey Ross. You see, right now I'm seeing and noticing a lot, especially being out there in the field, that people are losing their motivations a lot. I mean, man, they'll go to the hospital or go to the doctor, and the doctor will say something negative about their health, and before you know it, fear sets in, and they just lose their motivation. I'm seeing it even in church when, you know, we've got only a handful of people that does everything. It's like pulling teeth to get people to help in children's church. It's like pulling teeth to get people that want to be an usher and greet. I told one of them this morning, I said, you know, it's an honor that you're now an usher because, man, you set the atmosphere from the very beginning when people walk in and they look at you with your smile and you say it's an honor that you're here this morning. They set that. But I'm seeing motivation not being there for, you know, they'll sit in the seats. I mean, we do it. We've done it since I was born again, 1979. But today I'm trying to get some motivation back in your life. That when a doctor says something negative about your health, that you don't believe the report of a doctor. You believe the report of the great physician named Jesus. Come on, say amen or clap or something. Y'all know me. I refuse to have another dead church service. So you are allowed to clap or say amen every now and then. All it does is adds a little bit of agreement. Because, man, when there's some agreement, Michael, I'm telling you, God moves mountains when someone's just in agreement that you're healed by the stripes of Jesus. Look at verse 1 of Romans chapter 8. And I've talked a little bit about several little parts of Romans 8. But you got to get a hold of it because the very first verse says this. There... Are y'all looking at it? Get your phones out. Turn over there. You got your tablet? Look what it says. There is therefore now no, say that with me, say no, no condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus. Now look at me just for a second. That's every one of you that's born again. The word is talking about you, about me, if Jesus is your Lord. If he's not your Lord, he will be today. No, say that louder, please. Because you don't want to go to hell. You don't want to not have a Savior in the world that we're living in today. Nuh-uh. You need someone that you can cast cares on, and there's only one God. One Father who's above all and through all, and his name's Jesus. He's the only one you can cast your cares upon. That's why he died. Gave his life for every single one of us to know that there's no condemnation to any of us that are in Christ Jesus. Who do not, ready? Because listen, I got to bait you on this just for a second. You can be born again and have the helmet of salvation on and still live in the world. You can. You have the right because God gave every one of us a will. We can say yes to God. We can say no to God. We can get tempted to get in the flesh or we can stay in the spirit. Now check out why I said that. It's because there's no guilt. There's no condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus who do not walk according to the flesh, but according to the Spirit. For the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus has made us free. This is why Jesus died, y'all, from the law of sin and death. Now, again, look at me just one for just a quick second now. The reason I'm doing this message is to help every one of us, including me. Remember, when I preach to me. Because I figure if I need it, other people might need it. I don't have time to lose my motivation to continue serving our God. But you also can live in the world being born again. The problem, though, is in when Matthew says that you won't inherit the kingdom of God. Everybody goes to, uh-oh, that's talking about heaven, and you'll lose your salvation. No, it's not, because the kingdom of God is a method on how we're to live here on earth like heaven. The place of heaven is that, There's the place called heaven. But if you're born again, I'm not going to judge your salvation. And don't ever do that to anyone. It doesn't matter what you see them doing, right or wrong. Don't judge their salvation. If they've confessed with their mouth that Jesus is Lord and believed in their heart that God raised him from the dead, Jesus from the dead, they're born again. I'm not gonna try to judge their salvation because I don't know what's in their heart. I might see some fruits that they're doing that's not right. And God may have a brother or sister in Christ say, hey, you need some help? Don't do that. That's not good. Hopefully, they'll come to a good friend in the Lord and get some advice or counsel, whatever. But you need to understand that you've got a will to say yes to God or no to God. But I'm trying to keep our motivation up to say yes to Him. Because we need to not walk according to the flesh. Because again, verse 2 says, for the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus has made us free from the law of sin and death. In other words, you've got the rights, praise God, to say no to the devil. Say amen to that, y'all. You've got the right to say, devil, you get under my feet. Because he's going to try to tempt you to do wrong. He's going to try to tempt you to lose your motivation to serve him. You don't have time to do that. I don't care if you're going through some financial difficulties. I don't care if you're going through some health issues. That's the time to plug into your God. More than any other time. And you might need to shut your mouth. Because we lose motivation by the things that come out of this powerful tongue, this mouth, that speaks life or death, blessing or cursing. And I'm just trying to say, man, we got to keep motivated to serve our God, to believe in this word that's yes and amen. But the key is that we understand the difference between the flesh and the spirit. Okay? Check it out. Verse 3. For what the law could not do in that it was weak through flesh. Now how many of you know if you live, you know, you're, let's go ahead and establish this. You're a spirit. Say that. I'm a spirit that lives in a body called flesh. Okay, if you understand that, then when the flesh starts acting up, then you'll tell it where to go. And I'm not cussing. I'm just saying, flesh, you know, don't you act up in Jesus' name. Matter of fact, what does the word say? Crucify the flesh once a year. No, say it right. Crucify the flesh daily. Praise God. Okay? But we've got to understand about flesh. The law could not do in that it was weak through the flesh. God did by sending His own Son. So this is why Jesus was crucified. This is why He was sent, John 3:16, right? God did by sending His own Son in the likeness of sinful flesh on account of sin. So in other words, Jesus was tempted just like all of us are tempted. Thank God Jesus didn't fall to that temptation. He conquered hell. He conquered death. He conquered sin so that you and I now can be motivated to conquer sin. All right? He condemned sin in the flesh, that the righteousness or the righteous requirement of the law might be fulfilled in us who do not, all of us who do not walk according to the flesh, but according to the Spirit. I mean, because you've got to make a decision to stay motivated, that you're either going to do things by the Spirit. Listen to me, don't get all religious and in this going over your head. The Spirit is the Word of God. The Spirit is the Jesus that lives on the inside of you. The Holy Spirit, the third of the Trinity, praise God. The Father, number one. The Son, number two. The Holy Ghost, the Holy Spirit, the third of the Trinity, is the one that will speak to you. He's the one that will draw you. He's the one that will comfort you. It's the Word of God, though. So when you understand that the Spirit is not some ghostly being out there in the spirit realm, the Spirit lives on the inside of you. The Spirit is the Word of God, praise the Lord. But the flesh, woo, Jesus, it acts up just the same. And it wants to try to draw and pull you to do fleshly things. So any good preacher is going to try to say, hey, live in the Spirit, not the flesh. And when you do that, you'll start finding out that you'll start speaking different. You'll start speaking the Word of God instead of all those cuss words that come out of your mouth. Don't look at your neighbor. Because again, you got to go back to verse 1. Therefore, there is no condemnation to them that are in Christ. So if you're a potty mouth, start living by the Spirit so that you can get your mouth in line with the Word of God to say what the Word of God says instead of what your flesh says. Because your flesh is going to act out and it's going to cuss. But that's not who you are in Christ, see. But again, if you messed up yesterday, you got to go back to verse 1. There's no condemnation to them that are in Christ Jesus. But don't make that an excuse to sin. No, you got to keep reading here. What time is it? 11:42. Okay? All right, so let's just... And all we're doing here is learning, even though we live in a world, we don't live of the world, how to stay motivated to serve our God when we see all hell breaking loose around us. When we hear people, you know, not using good language. Or we see people doing wrong and we saw it. Then what happens though is, since there's no condemnation in Christ, God's not going to hold that against you. He just wants you to learn, hey, live by the Spirit, not your flesh. Because there's liberty, there's peace, there's motivation, you see. And I'm telling you, people are losing motivation. That's why the Bible says, listen to me, if you don't hear any other thing, listen to what I'm fixing to say. That's why right now, in the last of the last days, people are walking away from the faith. You probably have seen them. I mean, fired up for God at one point. I mean, serving in the church. And then one temptation from their flesh has driven them away to even almost believing that God really doesn't exist. Leaving the faith. Leaving the faith. No, 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 no. We're going to keep preaching this word out of love, knowing that there's no condemnation to them that are in Christ Jesus. God's not holding your past against you, praise the Lord. Why? Because He walks in forgiveness. He walks in mercy. He walks in the greatest way, the Spirit, and not flesh. Because if He walked in the flesh, we would be doomed. We could do no right. There would be no hope. But man, when we stay in the Spirit and we stay in the Word of God and we stay communicated to God, I asked the Lord to forgive me this morning. I said, Father, as I was driving to church, I said, Sir, I apologize for not being a better son. I know you're all thinking, I thought you were perfect, Pastor Corey. I said, Sir, I need to spend more time with you. Me. I apologize. And that's honestly, that's what I prayed this morning, driving into church. Father, I just want to be a better son. Because I do the same thing. I want to be a better husband to my wife. She's so beautiful. I want to be a better dad to my boy and my daughter. I want to be a better pastor. I want to be a better pastor to you. I want to be a better friend. I want to be a better musician. But I got to stay motivated to not give up on our God. Because we have an opportunity today. We can lose our motivation and go ahead and do it like the world. And it's easy to do this, y'all. It's easy to do things like the world. You know why? Because all the world is fear, doubt, and unbelief. But if I'm a better husband, I'm going to get more chicken fried steak at home. And if I'm a better dad to my boy back there and my daughter, they're going to honor me. They're going to help me. They're going to love me. If I'm a better pastor that is just willing to tell you the truth, that I prayed, Father, I need to be a better son. Reminding myself that, thank God, there's no condemnation to those that are in Christ Jesus. And it just keeps getting better and better and better as we continue to read. And I know I'm a smart preacher. I'm not going to be long-winded. People are like, you know, depending on your, you know, all of us have the same measure of faith, but we're all in different levels. And there's some that are like, keep preaching. We'll stay all day. But there's others, though, that are just younger in their walk with God that will get motivated. Just let me use some King James vernacular. If I stay long-winded, they will get her their bootieth out of heareth, fasteth. They're like, that's all I can handle, Pastor Corey. Give me the rest of it next Sunday. So that's what I'm going to do. But we're going to stay motivated until next Sunday, right? And we're going to stay hooked on our God. And when we're tempted to walk in the flesh, we're going to remind our flesh that we're going to stay in the Spirit. And all you do to do that is just pick up the Word of God and read verse 1. There is therefore now no condemnation to them that are in Christ Jesus. And that's what I reminded myself this morning. Even as I was saying, God, because He knows my heart. Even when I was saying, God, I apologize. I want to be a better son. Now, I'm not talking about rules and regulations, y'all, where you got to spend a certain amount of time praying and a certain amount of time reading the Word of God. I mean, I'm not against habits, but I'm just talking about, I just want to spend more time with the Lord. Understanding that He's number one in my life, and then my wife is number two, and then my children are number three, and then y'all come in there sometime, I promise. But I need to keep motivated, because hopefully you don't want me to quit. And by the way, I wouldn't dare. Because as I was telling my brother this morning, I thank him for calling me to pastor this church, not another church. This church. And I told him, I said, and when you're an usher and He's called you to do that, you need to thank God that He called you, because He'll call somebody else. If I don't stay motivated to do my call, then he'll call someone else to do this call. So I just want to let you know, I'm going to stay motivated to be the pastor of this church. Amen? Until he says something different. But, praise the Lord, he's not saying anything, but stay motivated, boy. So that's what I want to tell you this morning. I just want to look you in the eye. You stay motivated. You know why? Because she needs you. Mama, stay motivated. Those kids need you. Take the belt off every now and then. Well, no, Grandma, we're way past that one. Come on. You stay motivated. Quiet. The church. Come on. Stay motivated. Just like a good dad. Come on, boy. And you might need to tell some friends. Come on, stay motivated. You stay hooked. Hooked to your God. Amen. You know. Because that's sometimes what we need. John, you stay motivated. Don't you let that old snake, old Lucifer, old Slewfoot, old Lucky, try to get you off the road of blessing. You stay motivated. See, that's what we need. You, howdy. You need to stay motivated because you've got a boy that now has a girlfriend in Missouri. We talked about that. I mean, I'm like, can't you get a girlfriend close to home? I know. That's what mama's like. And one of his best buddies is my son. And, it's funny. Because we're talking about him and he's not here. But as a mom and dad, we got to stay motivated. Train those kids up in the ways of the Lord. Amen. Not being ashamed. Not being their friend. Let's be their mom and dad. Them precious kids. Oh, I mean, that I love. They need a mom and dad, though, to do right and not live like the flesh. So all you ornery old codgers. Now, if that's not you, don't receive that. But if you need to get a little bit more in the spirit, then go ahead and let the Lord deal with you and keep you motivated to serve him. Not condemnation, but just serve him. Because God needs you. He needs your business mind to continue and not give up. So let's stay motivated. Amen. I mean, you stay motivated to keep that spirit that you have in school, telling people about Jesus. Look at you. I mean, and bringing kids and let them get born again. I've always said you need to have a heathen friend. But don't go down to their level, bring them up to your level, and then get another heathen friend. I'm not saying he's a heathen boy right there. I'm like, oh, that's a good kid, man. No, I'm just saying, once we get someone elevated, get them born again, get them, you know, acting right, then go get another heathen friend. Now, don't yoke yourself to them where you can't build them up in the ways of the Lord and you're tempted to go down to that level, right? No, you just got to stay motivated. So, let's get some motivation this morning that we're going to continue to live in the kingdom of God. We're going to live in the spirit, not the flesh. And we're going to stay motivated to serve our God in these last days in Jesus' name. Shout amen. Come on. Amen. Father, we love you. Thank you, Lord, for this day, the day that allows us to be a victor and not a victim. We choose this day to live in the Spirit. And yeah, if we don't understand that completely, then we dig into the Word of God until we understand the difference between the spirit and the flesh. But Father, give us that revelation. Give us that understanding that the Spirit is the Word of God. The Spirit is having the mind of Christ. The Spirit is being led by you in all areas that leads to righteousness, doing what's right. But we also understand, sir, that there's flesh, and the flesh wants us to sin. So, Father, today all of us are in agreement with you that we're not going to live by the flesh where we do wrong. We're going to live in the Spirit where you're pleased. And Father, thank you for that. Thank you that we receive this message because we are staying motivated to serve you. But we understand there's no condemnation to those that are in Christ Jesus. And sir, that's all of us. But we have a heart to do. We want to do right because we're righteous. In Jesus' name. Every head bowed and every eye closed. If you're here this morning and you've lost a little motivation, it's time to get it back. As I told those contestants, there were hundreds in that tent and they rode their horses right up to where I was standing on a bale of hay. And they were listening to me speak life. I was motivating them through the Word of God. I can do a good motivational speech that doesn't mean much, but it's a lot more powerful when it's done through the Spirit, the Word of God. And I was just speaking life. There were some of them that their national finals, it was the third performance that he asked me to go to. Saturday night before we did the church service on Sunday. And there were some that things just didn't go good in the first two performances. Matter of fact, a steer wrestler came to me as soon as I finished. And my cue was when they start the song Viva Las Vegas. That's when I'm supposed to quit. And so I made sure I did. And he shot over there to me quickly because he knew that they were about to introduce every state to come in. And he said, I needed that. I needed that because things haven't gone right in the first couple of rounds. But I needed that motivation. You know what he did? He went out there and won about 26,000 because he got motivated. And that's what we all need to do. So if you're here this morning, and you just need to get that motivation to not quit, to not give up, to continue on. Get that fire back. Rekindle it. Then get it right now in Jesus' name. If you're here this morning and you're not saved, you don't know what would happen to you if you left this earth, you don't know if you'd go to heaven or hell, then I want you to get motivated that there's only one way to heaven according to John chapter 14. And it's through Jesus, the Bible says. He's the only way, truth, and life. The only way to get to the Father in heaven is by Him, Jesus. If you're here this morning or if you're watching us online and you've never given your heart to Jesus, it's time you do it now. Do not wait. You don't have time to wait. The temptation of sin and death is going to be very strong on you. But when you give your heart to Jesus, you will get freed from that law of sin and death. And you'll have comfort and peace, praise God. And you'll have someone to, again, as we've said several times this morning, you'll have someone to cast every care upon. You won't have to handle it yourself, but the key is Jesus Lord. If He's not, you don't know what would happen to you if you left this earth. You don't know if you'd go to heaven or hell. Then I'm going to ask you to pray a prayer with all of us in here that is born again. We're going to pray with you, but you're going to have to ask out of your mouth, out loud, where your ears can hear it, you're going to have to ask Jesus, the Son of God, to come into your life. So that's what I want you to do. So if there's anybody in this auditorium or you're watching that has never given your heart to Jesus, you don't know if you'd go to heaven or hell if you died, then I want you to pray Romans 10:9. I'm going to lead you in it right now. And all the people around you, hopefully, unless you're by yourself, we're going to pray it with you. And if you do this, you're going to bust heaven wide open. You ready? If you're here this morning, pray this prayer with me, with all the believers. Say, Father in heaven, I open the door of my heart and I confess with my mouth that Jesus is Lord. Jesus, come into my life. Save me. Forgive me of my sin. Thank you, Jesus, that my name is written in the Lamb's Book of Life. I'm coming to heaven when I leave this earth. But while I live here, I'm going to serve you. I'm going to live by the Spirit and not the flesh. So God, forgive me as I want to do better. In Jesus' name I pray. With no one looking around, you just prayed that prayer for the very first time and you meant it. And you ask Jesus to come into your life for the first time. What I want you to do, and I'm not going to have you come to the front. I'm not going to have you do anything other than when I count to three. One, two, three. If you just gave your heart to Jesus, you prayed that prayer for the very first time and you meant it. I want you to get your hand up where I can see it. And then put it right back down at the count of three. Would you do that with me? With boldness. Because we're not ashamed of our Jesus. He was definitely not ashamed to die for us. But if that was you, get that hand up when I say three. Ready? One, two, three. Go. Thank you, my brother. Appreciate you. Very proud for you. Thank you. Thank you, thank you. Thank you, Lord. I'm going to have someone just give you a Bible. They saw you. I'm not going to embarrass you. I want you to have a Bible, though, and he's just going to hand it right over your shoulder. Just grab that Bible. Thank you. Anybody else? Thank you, Lord. All right, look at me, everybody. Thank God. Thank God people give their heart to Jesus.